Breaking news, the ACLJ gets a big win in federal court against the deep state. We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So on Friday evening, a federal court, Washington, D.C., has ordered the Biden administration and the State Department to turn over to the ACLJ the unredacted Jen Psaki email regarding the newly confirmed Obama-Biden administration meeting about the Iran deal. This involves that glitch that they said, which was actually an edit made in a video. And it goes back to the idea that the Obama-Biden team was negotiating with Iran, not when they waited for Rouhani and a quote-unquote more moderate Iranian president to be elected, but they were negotiating when Ahmadinejad, who was one of the terrorists who held captive those Americans at the U.S. Embassy, and was part of that the Islamic Revolution, and was, again, someone that publicly they say they would never deal with. So privately, at this video is uncovered, and this glitch uncovered, that the negotiations began under the Ahmadinejad years, where Iran was at some of its most radical behavior domestically and internationally, but especially domestically, really flexing its muscles against its own people. And this court, the judges said, you can't redact this. This is not redactable information. You need to let the ACLJ see it, which means the American people see it.
Yeah, so the administration tried to claim presidential privilege here. And the district court judge said no, that this was a document not covered by the privilege. And it went on at great lengths explaining why it was not, which was a position, of course, that we advocated at the ACLJ. What's key on this is we knew there was something going on with Iran and the United States with diplomacy that the American people were not aware with. Now, sometimes you don't know about ongoing diplomacy, but they were publicly discussing it. They just weren't telling the truth. And then they had this crazy situation where they had this video up explaining it, and then they edited it and basically removed the parts that would be troubling for the administration. I'll go to Andy on this, and it was hide the ball, and that's why we went to court.
Well, that's exactly what it was, Jay, was hide the ball. But this federal district judge, Timothy Kelly, in an excellent opinion, dissected the presidential communication privilege, which was what the State Department was hiding behind in refusing to give us the Jen Psaki email. I think what's critical in this, in addition, is the fact that it's the Jen Psaki email that was redacted. Here was a person who was the press secretary for the State Department, and now she's just conveniently slide it over to the White House and is going to be giving us the same line of information, disinformation, or lies or deceit, possibly, that she gave while she was at state.
What's interesting here is the meeting and what the decision actually was that was made during this has been kept private from the American people for 5 years. So it took, we've been in court at least, what, 3.5, I think, Jordan, at this point, maybe 4. And you have to be patient because the court process moves in a particular way.
Over 4 years, 5 years.
5 years in litigation. But now they're going to appeal this. This case could end up, by the way, this could be a Supreme Court case. Because you can bet that the State Department is going to fight like crazy because this comes on the heels, this decision of us filing a lawsuit on Friday, again against the Department of State for John Kerry's negotiations that he was doing during the Trump administration. And there's a report, I'll just tease it here for a moment, that when Soleimani was killed, Zarif gets a call from John Kerry and said, by the way, the United States has unbelievably attacked 2,000 sites in Syria. And why would he share that information? We're going to get into all of this, and we're going to go to court to get the information. That's why your support of the ACLJ makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, be part of our matching challenge month. You've got time in April. ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. That's ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back on Seculo. Taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rinnell will be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast to talk about this. Again, the ACLJ, we've got the court order in this Freedom of Information Act request case. And this was the email that was kind of if you want to call it the smoking gun, the needle in the haystack, the why you've worked for 5 years on a case. It was the email the State Department did not want us to be able to read. They produced it, that it existed, that it was on point. That means that whatever is redacted there, it is on point. It is about exactly the issue of the video edit and negotiating with the Ahmadinejad led government in Iran. And the federal judge said, let me take a look at this first. He did. And what he said was, this is not subject to presidential privilege. This is the district court level. We have to be ready now to fight this all the way up, though, because, again, it would be surprising that you never know with the U.S. government, these bureaucratic agencies. It would be surprising because these people are now back in power.
Yep.
So Jid Saki's got an interest in keeping this redacted, and they're trying to negotiate a new deal with Iran, so, which this could damage.
Of course it could damage it because it's going to expose the truth. Now, you got to understand this. The Biden administration, as soon as they got in, when they saw that the FOIA request was there, they didn't want to respond either. And the deep state operatives certainly don't want to respond to this because they want to be able to hide the truth about not only the disastrous Iran deal, but the timing of the negotiations. And all that line about, oh, we got a moderate coming into Iran and that's why we're doing the negotiation now, none of that was true. All completely wrong. Now, there will be no redactions in the emails. None. Which means we're going to find out what the now White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki and other senior then Obama Biden officials were actually doing and who made the decision to delete and edit that email that was done to keep the American people in the dark. Harry, I said during the break, this is a big win. I'm sure they will appeal this. Folks, this case could end up in the Supreme Court. I mean, it's that potentially big. But I think it's important for, you know, we poked the bear here. On purpose, because we want to get to the truth. We just filed another one on Friday, but this shows you exactly why we do what we do.
Absolutely. So at the ACLJ, we have consistently emphasized several things, including the necessity of defeating the deep state. And we have worked tirelessly to uncover deep state duplicity. And I think with this particular FOIA request, we have simply scratch the surface of premeditated and deliberate efforts by the deep state to hide information from the American people, and this move has unleashed a sleeping giant within the bureaucracy, and this means that our five-year-old request is simply the first of many revelations to come.
During the break, Colonel Westmith, when I said we have poked the bear, said, oh, Lord, here we go. I mean, this is it's a big deal, Wes.
It is a big deal. And, you know, the cover-up, and that's really what this is about, is a cover-up, was not based on the necessity of sensitive privileged communications or national security concerns, protecting sources and methods. All of this was done, Jay, apparently for political cover. They knew that what they were doing would be perceived at best as ill-advised and at worst as against the interest of America itself. And all of it, Jay, is based on a lie, a set of lies to the American people.
What do you think the ramifications of all that? I mean, these are big cases, folks, and we've got a series of these now. And then you got the situation now with Zarif getting, it looks like, tipped off by Biden during the Trump administration, not Biden, by Kerry, during the Biden administration, during the Trump administration, with the 200 airstrikes to Syria. And Zarif says he was astonished to find this out. Why would John Kerry tell that to Zarif? Why was he communicating with Zarif?
No explanation. I mean, so this comes about in this leaked phone call where Zarif is talking to another Iranian official, and he's complaining about Soleimani. He's complaining about the Revolutionary Guard.
But explain who Soleimani is. So
he was the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard until he was taken out by the Trump administration in an airstrike when he was flaunting international law because he's recognized as a leader of a terrorist organization. And he was taking private jets into Baghdad and places in Iraq. He was not very secretive about it. And the U.S., which labeled Iranian Revolutionary Guard as a foreign terrorist organization, had an opportunity to take out the leader of a foreign terrorist organization and did. And Zarif talks about the idea that diplomacy always loses to the guard, whatever the guard wanted to do in this leaked phone call. Somewhere in this phone call, because we're only getting portions of the leak, the New York Times reporting, he's talking about John Kerry giving a call, talking about these 200 strikes on Iranian interest in Syria, and Zarif is astonished, which either he's astonished because he's getting no reports from the Revolutionary Guard, or because he's kind of in the dark about what they're doing. And that has always been what we've talked about with Iran, is what they are doing outside of their normal operating, if you will, of a military, that they are running front militaries all across the proxy wars all across the Middle East.
Well, so you wonder, and we filed a new lawsuit against Biden State Department regarding John Kerry's secret meetings with Iran and his negotiations. But Andy, I mean, putting the Logan Act aside, which, you know, they're not supposed to interfere with foreign policy, because I have always questioned the constitutionality of that. The idea, I'm glad, and it's obviously important that we file suit to get to the truth in this, but you've got John Kerry, you know, talking to Zarif about U.S. airstrikes?
Yeah, that's very disturbing.
I would say so.
That the former Secretary of State, who now is playing a pivotal role in the Biden administration on climate and gosh knows what other matters he's involved in, is tipping off Iranian leaders about American military action. Israeli action in Syria. Excuse me, and tipping him off about information that he has no business getting involved in what we're doing. So, you know, this is very disturbing because John Kerry is at the center of so many of these things that are happening in the Middle East with Iran, with Israel, with Syria, with so forth, trying to be a shadow negotiator when he has no business doing that. Not only is it a violation of American law, although, as you said, the constitutionality of the Logan Act may be at issue, but they didn't have any problem invoking the Logan Act surreptitiously or sidewise when Michael Flynn was involved, did they?
No, it was Biden that was the one who was advocating it, actually, which I thought was unusual. But the ramifications of all of this, I think, Harry, are very, very serious. I mean, and getting to the bottom of it is very important.
I think that is precisely correct. And I think to the extent that we can get to the bottom of this, we can also unravel the effort, and I would label it a conspiracy by global elites to keep the American people, A, in the dark, and to maintain absolute control over our lives. And I think you can make an analogy to what the State Department has done in the past and continues to do with respect to what has happened with respect to how the global elites have embraced authoritarianism with respect to the pandemic. And so they want absolute control. They don't believe in informing average working class Americans about what the United States is doing. They believe in a borderless world, which we are now seeing on our southern border. And it's all about subverting the interest of the American people to the interest of global elites.
Let me go quickly to Wes. And then, as Jordan said, Rick Rennell's joining us. Everybody that's watching on our multimedia social media platform, share it with your friends right now. Radio people, tell your friends too. Send them texts. We got Rick Rennell coming up to talk about all of this. But, you know, the significance of the lawsuit is that the American people are going to get an answer.
Yes, absolutely. And they deserve an answer. And you look at what you were just discussing concerning John Kerry. Take the Logan Act out of the picture. My questions are, where did he get the information? Who on the National Security Council was leaking this to Ben Rhodes and John Kerry and others? Because we know that during the Trump administration, the NSC was leaking information like that. And then also, as far as the legalities of this, Jay, it may not or may not be prosecutable under the Logan Act, but if you share classified information,
right,
that is against the law.
Are you surprised? Quickly, you work with the State Department because you interface with the State Department. People don't understand that there's this entrenched bureaucracy there that's unreal.
Yeah, there are career people that presidents come and go, secretaries of state come and go, they remain. And we have always contended both there and at the Pentagon and other places, that's where the real power is with the career civilians there.
Yeah, and people think of the State Department as diplomatic, but really it's a lot of the individuals there are front diplomats who are working in intel. So there's a huge crossover in a much darker world of, if you will, and of intel and what the CIA is doing, clandestine activity, and a lot of these bureaucrats. And so they guard their information, they guard what's available to the political insiders. But what we do know about these bureaucrats is they are much more friendly to the left. So when the left comes in, it's, you know, open arms, let's all work together. When the right comes in, it's like pulling teeth to get them to do anything. Because again, though their job is to carry out the will of the elected government, they will drag their feet as much as possible if they disagree with that. They'll actually try to undermine it because they've gotten so large and there's so much crossover in the intel world. We'll talk about that with Rick Rennell when we come back on Secular. We are, again, part of a Matching Challenge Month. Double the impact your donation at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Our Senior Advisor for National Security, Foreign Policy, Rick Rennell, is joining us now. And Rick, I want to go right to you. First reaction, this federal court judge, after 5 years, finally gets the email the State Department doesn't want the American people to see on the Iran nuclear deal. They claim presidential privilege. He reads it and says, you know, takes his time and says, there's no presidential privilege here. This needs to be unredacted, if you will. Now, the State Department has time to appeal. I'm sure they will appeal. But it just—I think it, what it underscores, Rick, is how long you've got to go to if you really want to go to battle against these actors. And President Trump did that his entire term. These are long-term battles.
Yeah, look, let's remember that my emails were turned over to BuzzFeed immediately.
Of course, in 30 seconds, right?
Without any interference. And so now, what we need to say is the same. Let's have the same standard. If my emails are going to get turned over, let's have the request granted that ACLJ is pushing forward. Secretary of State Blinken should absolutely come down on the side of transparency. This is legitimate, especially when we look at the news about John Kerry just recently. I think ACLJ is at the tip of the spear here, and let's keep it going.
You know, Rick, I want to talk to you about the fact that your emails, literally, when you say immediately, I mean, you were barely, you know, the administration was barely in office. They released yours pretty much unredacted. We don't have a case in the ACLJ history of litigating against the government, which has been for decades, where that has ever happened until, of course, we didn't ask for yours. They did, and boom, they're released. So the doubles, you're right, the double standard here is unreal. But then I ask this question. What was John Kerry doing talking with Zarif while you all were in office putting your policies forward?
Well, and I would go one step further. We know that he has been talking to Zarif. How in the world did he not get prosecuted for this? Why isn't there a standard when we see him clearly violating the law? This is what frustrates many people, is that the double standard for violating the law is so atrocious. Look, we have to come to the conclusion that this is strategic, that this is not just an oversight or something that was a mistake. Clearly, the Department of Justice is moving towards political prosecutions. Let's be honest. And so I think the next step is our senators have to stop talking and start hauling these people in and saying, why aren't you applying the standard in the same way? Where are our Republican senators? Don't come asking us for money if you're not going to actually do things when you're in office.
You know, Rick, I asked our colleague, and he's sitting right next to me here in the studio, Wes Smith, because he served in the military, worked out of with the State Department, handled classified information. If you were to do what they did, you'd be court-martialed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rick's right. You can be prosecuted for this. And what we're dealing with are some of the most sensitive foundations of American foreign policy and national security. And to these people, it's evident that power and political advantage is more important to them than the U.S. security and well-being.
It's unreal, Jordan.
Well, I mean, what I think is interesting, we play this sound, like John Kerry gets asked about it directly. This is back in 2019, and he's denying, you know, he's denying what we now know he was doing. Take a listen, Bite 9.
Since the decision was made to pull out of the Iran nuclear agreement, from that time forward, this is a public issue, and I don't engage in any diplomacy on it in that way.
There's been no back channeling.
No, I haven't had any back channel on that issue since the decision was made to move out. And before that, it was not a back channel.
I mean, Rick, is that just another double speak for what a back channel is? Because he's not really he's saying he's not using a back channel. There's not a back channel, but that doesn't. I don't know if he's just being careful about what he knows he's doing, which was meeting with Zarif whenever he needed to get information to and his deputies.
No, Jordan, you just hit it on the head. He's using the word back channel, which is an official term for diplomacy of an official back channel endorsed by the Trump administration. So he's saying, no, I was not participating in any back channel official negotiation. But let me be very clear. He was working with the Europeans and the Iranians, not in an official back channel, but in an unofficial back channel, in a way that undermined the Trump administration, and he worked with Democratic senators. Yeah. I know this to be a fact.
You know, Andy, I was thinking about this. You're the wordsmith here in our team. Back channel is a term of art, as Rick said, and now you've got a situation where Kerry says it wasn't a back channel only because the Trump administration didn't approve it. Didn't mean the conversations weren't going on.
Yeah, well, this is just an inartful way or an artful way of trying to circumvent the reality of the situation. Let's just put it simply. This man, John Kerry, with whom the Biden administration and the Obama administration are so enamored, and I don't understand what the enamorata is here, but they're so enamored with him, was conducting his own secret private diplomatic relations with foreign governments and foreign nationals during the pendency of the Trump administration, and doing things and saying things on behalf of the United States when he was out of office and had no business making any representations with respect to the American policy. What right did he have to do that? No doubt, in my view, he was using classified information in his own fashion and in his own way through these back channels. Ways, artful ways of saying the same thing, is just using information that he had no business transmitting. He was not in office.
No, so Rick, and what kind of harm does that cause when you're trying to get a policy out and Zarif is, we know, is close with Kerry to begin with?
Well, first of all, it made it very difficult with the Europeans because they decided just to wait us out because they could see that John Kerry and other Democrats were not supporting this policy. And so it really undermined us with the Europeans. I think it's always important to remind our viewers that the Europeans don't have the same threat that we do when it comes to Iran. They don't see Iran as that threat, and Iran certainly doesn't see the Europeans as a threat like they do the United States. So we should not be trying to allow the Europeans to somehow make our U.S. policy. This is not something that we should defer to the Europeans on. We should lead the Europeans on this issue. But let's also remember that evidence is emerging that John Kerry shared with the Iranians what the Israelis were up to.
Yep.
This is a very anti-Israel policy. This is also by John Kerry. This is also, when you look at Israel and you look at Iran, no one in their right mind is going to think that the United States or any person involved in the United States diplomatic world should come down on the side of Iran over Israel.
Yeah, I mean, this is comes on the heels of, because there's a new engagement, Rick, and we've only got about a minute left, but there's a lot more information now about Iran. There's this leaked phone call between Zarif and another advisor talking about John Kerry coming to him with this information about Israel, talking about how the Revolutionary Guard was running roughshod over his diplomatic ideas. But so it was enlightening. But at the same time, this is very relevant because this is an administration begging Iran to get back into it, begging Iran to let us back in, the United States, into this deal.
I also think that there's one more thing to point out, which is that John Kerry knew about Israel's plans because it was U.S. intelligence that were coordinating with the Israelis. Yep. There's no way that John Kerry knew what Israel was up to without U.S. intelligence briefings. The Israelis are not sharing information with John Kerry.
Oh, thank you, Rick. We appreciate your insight. As always, Rick Rennell, of course, is a senior advisor to the ACLJ, key member of our team, former acting director of national intelligence and ambassador to Germany. And let me tell you something. We've got a lawsuit filed Friday that covers this one, too. So our government affairs team is jammed. Support the work of the ACLJ in this last days of the matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I think what Rick Rinnell just said was very important, and I want to reiterate that as we talk about what's happening with Iran, which is back in the news because the Biden administration is doing what they can to decrease the sanctions on Iran, putting all of that on the table to get back into a nuclear deal. So suddenly Iran is very relevant again to all the discussions, especially direct conversations between the United States and Iran. So it's not relevant in the sense of an actor we were battling on the battlefield, which we were under the Trump administration. And as Rick pointed out at the end, if John Kerry was sharing information about Israeli airstrikes and or actions taken against Iranian interest in Syria, and 200 of those, there would be no way for him to get that information unless he got it from U.S. intel sources. So then he would be sharing U.S. intel with the Iranian foreign minister, which brings up a whole host of legal laws. We're not talking about the Logan Act anymore. Now we're talking about the Espionage Act, you know, laws that have teeth, laws that are constitutional, legal, that you could follow. And this is, again, John Kerry has acted as if nothing applies to him, and he has kept this conversation alive so that they hope to get back into this deal very soon.
But you know what needs to be pointed out here, and I think this is critical, Harry, is that this was undermining the Trump administration's work in the Middle East, and there was a comprehensive plan being put forward.
And that is precisely why John Kerry engaged in his misbehavior. He sought to undermine the Trump policy. Section 18 U.S.C. Section 798 prohibits knowingly disclosing to an unauthorized person in a manner prejudicial to the safety or interest of the United States or for the benefit of foreign governments. So presumably, John Kerry's disclosure of secret information regarding Israeli attacks on Iran was indeed classified. Presumably, Iranian Minister Zarif is an unauthorized person.
Yeah,
there's no evidence that President Trump authorized him to receive this information. So this means John Kerry's disclosures are against America's interest. He ought to be subject to a criminal penalty.
What was John Kerry during the Trump administration meeting with Zarif about?
Yeah, excellent question. You know, and part of it is, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, because they, quote-unquote, they know better.
Yeah.
Much better than whoever happens to be president, than the American people, the interest of America itself. And so he felt perfectly entitled and legitimate to do this, quote, back channel, although it wasn't a back channel, it was an illegal channel, to go and to talk to one of America's adversaries and to undermine the foreign policy of the United States, which is directly a part of not just U.S. foreign policy that affects us domestically, but look at all the Gulf states, the Arab nations, the Abraham Accords, Israel, that whole region of the world. There are vital, critical issues at stake, yep. But John Kerry, Jay, knows better than everyone else, and so he's entitled to do this.
I know, but he played games in that soundbite we played earlier. He played games, he said, it's not a back channel, because a back channel is an official communication that's given by someone through the United States auspices. So, Andy, he's technically right. He wasn't involved in a back channel. What he was involved in, it was a direct channel, as Will Haynes points out, with Zarif, while another administration was in power.
Yeah, Jay, the reality is that the Democrats did everything they could from the day President Trump was inaugurated in office to undermine, to hurt, to harm, to do anything they could to compromise his administration and his pursuit of foreign policy in the world and especially in the Middle East. And this is one example of that. Every single thing that the Democrats could possibly put into operation to undermine President Trump, who had tremendous successes in the Middle East, was done by the Democrats. Trump and, Kerry leading the charge.
I just think this is important. This is, 2021. The headline of FoxNews.com right now is Iran's foreign minister says John Kerry told him about Israeli covert operations in Syria. Think about that. Now, this is again, and talk about our legal battle 5 years. All coming together because they're pushing this issue again.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. So all this information, you know, it's unique that it's all coming to a point, of course, at the same time. And that's because the Biden administration is trying to push back into this nuclear deal with Iran, laying everything on the table about what they would do if they were to be able to get back into this deal. But now we know a lot of information. One, that Iran was flaunting this deal the entire time, the first time around.
Yep.
Because of a new leaked tape between Iran's foreign minister, one of his deputies, and he says on there in the tape that the Revolutionary Guard is actively working with the Russians to undermine the deal. So even Iran's own diplomatic corps is admitting to not only by saying they're undermining, they're saying they're not actually going along with, they are not abiding by the restrictions that they said they would, or the searches that they would. In fact, that they were actively looking for ways to undermine the deal. So you had these two warring interests inside Iran. One has the guns, one doesn't. And they, of course, the one with guns was getting their way. And so they didn't like this nuclear deal to begin with. They wanted to get the U.S. out.
Of course.
Now the U.S. is trying to get back, and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is probably at a weaker point. It's definitely at a weaker point because it has not the same kind of dynamic leader it had in Soleimani.
And because the United States took action to take out Soleimani. Now, Mike Pompeo, who's former Secretary of State and, of course, senior counsel with the American Center for Law and Justice on Global Affairs, is going to be with us tomorrow. I'm going to say, you don't get this broad kind of analysis anywhere else. He's going to be with us tomorrow to discuss all of this in greater detail. But he tweeted yesterday that our administration's exquisite strike on Soleimani has had a massive impact on Iran and the Middle East. You don't have to take my word for it. Ask Zarif. I mean, then he puts his Twitter at Zarif. President Biden still thinks it was a mistake. And, of course, they could think it's a mistake, but the reality is you took out the guy that was causing the most harm in the region, a region you've been in, Wes.
Oh, yeah, who has the blood of countless American soldiers on his hands, too, you know. And Robert Gates, the former, you know, Secretary of Defense, is so correct when he says that Joe Biden has been wrong on every major foreign policy issue over the last 40, 45 years, and he's still wrong. And what is happening here is really political gamesmanship, Jay, that's out of control.
Yeah, but I need to talk for a moment here about what we're doing about this, because obviously we're giving you a full analysis. That's why you're watching this broadcast on multiple platforms, or you're listening to us on radio stations across the country. But, Andy, we're taking direct action here. I mean, and it's complicated. We've been dealing with this FOIA request for almost 5 years, and now we finally got the win. But it's just like the IRS case, 3 years of litigation. You've got to persevere when you're tackling the United States government.
Well, that's true, Jay, especially the government that we have in the deep state and the State Department that has been so obdurate and so obstructionist in giving us this information. The important thing is persistence. I'm a prosecutor by trade. That's what I do. And I persist in getting information by coming back time and time again. Our FOIA litigation, which is persistent litigation aimed at getting information out of the government in the deep state, and occasionally and very frequently produces results like that we got from Judge Kelly in the District of Columbia last week, when he said, you're going to give up Jen Psaki's email unredacted because the presidential communication privilege does not apply. Now, I know they're going to fight us on that, but guess what? We're going to fight back, too, on appeal in the D.C. Circuit.
I'm going to tell you right now, buckle up, folks. This one, they are going to fight with everything they've got to keep this private. There is no way they're going to want this out publicly. So we've got an appellate team preparing on this. We're going to have a Supreme Court team ready to go. We have struck the bear, and the bear took one. Pretty hard. This was like the battle with Goliath. You know, he took 5 stones. He only needed one, David. So the first one worked, and we got the result. Now we got to reload the slingshot, though, because they're going to fight back, Jordan, very, very hard here.
Yeah, that's right. So, again, this is when we need your support. I mean, this is, again, it's the example of why years of work it takes to get to the truth. You cannot just be a fly-by-night kind of group and say, oh, we want to pop them now. We're angry. That's one thing. But what we do at the ACLJ is we actually fight these battles, and we have the resources to fight them throughout as long as they take. And that's because of you and your support for the ACLJ. And at times you may say, oh, wow, this is taking a long time. Then look at the front pages today. Turn on the news, and it's a flashback to exactly what we're fighting about. And so it all comes together. This is a very short time period in history and in U.S. foreign policy. So, you know, 5 years is a very, very short time period. Right now, if you like the work that we're doing on this, this is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ, because you can double the impact of your donation at aclj.org throughout the month of April. So you have until the end of this month to double your impact. We have a group of donors. They say every donation that comes through in April, we will match dollar for dollar. You donate online at aclj.org today, and you double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ. That's aclj.org. Donate today.
You know, there's another aspect of this too, Harry, and that is John Kerry not only, you know, had this bizarre relationship with Zarif, like buddies, with one of our biggest enemies, but he was doing the same kind of thing with the Palestinian Authority.
Absolutely.
With Mahmoud Abbas. And basically saying, just wait these people out for 4 years because they're going to lose. Of course, then they will change the policy, and they put the exact same people right back into play.
Absolutely.
So nothing changes.
I think, number one, we should note that in dealing with the United States State Department and the embedded bureaucracy, we may need more than a slingshot. We may need a howitzer. Number two, the United States, under the Obama administration, has consistently and persistently been prepared to negotiate in secret with the Iranians, despite their stubborn support for terror, including their efforts to attack and undermine Israel. Third, it's beyond question that the Iran nuclear deal was designed and intended to be a subversive document. It was designed to do what? To provide cover for Iran's nuclear weapons ambitions. So I think the Iran nuclear deal was designed deliberately to allow the Iranian nuclear program to continue and then to provide cover for the Western powers that negotiated this deal.
I just, you wonder, now I know we're doing the right thing here, And by the way, Facebook audience is coming back on. There was a glitch here, and we lost you for a minute, but you're back on. But I wonder here, you know, they've got such a clear, to my mind, a clear plan and a clear methodology that they were using. And then now we're going to find out what they were doing, which are going to fight us on tooth and nail. But we won, again, in federal court because of your support of the ACLJ. And now we've got people like Rick Grenell and Mike Pompeo as part of our team, which gives us even more ability to do these kind of things. But John Kerry is also right now, Jordan, the climate czar.
Yes, he's back in there.
Yeah.
So really all that does is take that name, you know, whatever his title is, they just put these guys back inside the White House to act on behalf of the United States internationally. He's like an ambassador now. But he's actually more than an ambassador because he's like an ambassador is meeting as on behalf of the U.S. government.
Yep.
Now there's people like Rick who had close relationship with the president. So you know if you're one of those countries that this is someone who's speaking really on behalf of the government for real. And then there's other ambassadors when you get to countries that are not as prominent, don't have the same kind of world power, that are usually part of the diplomatic corps. And they're kind of just more there for the interest of the United States. They're not necessarily speaking on a daily or even weekly basis or ever with the president directly. But John Kerry, by being a White House official, is representing Biden. So that's a step up in that sense. You are an emissary for the president of the United States who can make these a lot of these foreign policy decisions without Congress.
And Andy, the reason we go to court is to get to the truth. That is what we are seeking here.
That's exactly what we always seek when we seek justice. And justice shall you pursue, as the biblical injunction is. We go to court because we want to get to the bottom. We use the law that exists, the Freedom of Information Act. We use the tools of our trade that are permissible under the statutory scheme established by Congress. We file demands and letters. We get stonewalled. We then go to court and file lawsuits. We get answers that stonewall us. We pursue motions to compel. We pursue motions for summary judgment. We do what lawyers have to do in order to get the information. And occasionally, frequently, as happened last week, we get a good result from a judge who says, "Posh on this idea of a presidential communication privilege. It doesn't exist. Give up the email of Jen Psaki."
Look, in the next segment of the broadcast, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110 and your comments in by Facebook and YouTube. We encourage you to do that. Again, 1-800-684-3110. But this is, look, we're in the last 4 days of our matching challenge campaign. Your support for the ACLJ, critical. Now, our stretch goal, we're behind on our stretch goal. We're ahead for the month, but we're behind on our goal of where we want to be. So your support right now will make a big difference. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, of course, tax deductible, but we get a matching gift for it. ACLJ.org. If you're already donated, we want to say thank you. Again, we'll take your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So you have a top Iranian diplomat claiming that John Kerry is leaking information about covert Israeli operations to Iran when he was Secretary of State. This is a leaked phone call between Zarif, the foreign minister of Iran, and one of his deputies, and that has been leaked to the New York Times. This is very relevant right now because the Biden administration is back to the negotiating table, willing to let up on basically the entire array of sanctions that are in place on Iran, including their oil industry, the shipping, transport, medical, you know, all of the kinds of equipment they can get in to get back to a nuclear deal. I mean, the U.S. is bending over backwards, if you will, to try and let it – that's so sad.
Yeah.
Because they're doing that to try – so that Iran will negotiate with us.
But we will put in a good point during the break here, and that is when John Kerry was in China, Harry – he tells the Chinese, we're going to negotiate climate change, and we're going to have to separate out the human rights issue. We're not going to get into that. When he's dealing with the Iranians, we're going to talk about this nuclear deal, but we're not going to talk about that you're the largest exporter of terrorism in the world. That's his MO.
Precisely.
And he's now back in power.
Precisely. So one of the things to keep in mind is that the United States State Department and the United States government theoretically have an interest in reducing genocide and human rights violations. But within the parameters of the Biden administration, all of those things are now secondary to issues such as climate change or to the restarting the Iran nuclear deal. So what are we really seeing take place right before our own eyes within the parameters of the Biden administration? The Biden administration is subverting stalwart U.S. policy, opposing human rights, opposing terror to what? Climate change. And no one knows, in my view, what the real end game is with respect to climate change, because the Biden administration is now saying that virtually everything has to do with climate change. So climate change is infrastructure under their current definition.
But you know, the problem with all of this is that we have a situation where this is serious negotiations, or supposed to be. The Iranians are up to no good. I mean, is there any – the government, I'm not talking about the people. The Iranian regime is up to no good. This is not a regime you can trust. That, as Jordan said, they violated the JCPOA before it even started. They had no intent. Now we're getting all the leaked information out. And then we had John Kerry doing his, you know, escapades over there.
Yeah, and you have to wonder what his motive is and what he's thinking. I mean, the Iranians have proven very willingly over and over again that they cannot be trusted, that they will cheat. The JCPOA doesn't even forbid them from getting a weapon. It delays it for 10 years. Meanwhile, what are they doing? They went from 5% enriching uranium to 60%, and they've increased their centrifuges by over 1,000 centrifuges. I mean, Jay, it's a dangerous world, and our adversaries are ramped up in a way that we've not seen in several years. And the threat to world peace and the national security issues for the United States have never been more important. And you have to wonder, what in the world are they thinking?
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, you know, you look at this, you realize that John Kerry is ratting out Israeli covert operations in Syria.
Unreal.
To the Iranians, to exporters of terror, leaders of a terrorist regime.
Syria is part of Iran. They are, that's the asymmetrical warfare.
I mean, using chemical weapons on their own people. So remember, I mean, this idea, again, that you would even have this kind of relationship that's developed, I think it's, there's, if you dive into the Kerry Zarif relationship.
Oh.
It is basically they're running John Kerry, is what you got those situations.
Yep.
They found somebody who that he wants to have tea with that can be his buddy,
they mark
be his friend. It's a mark. They mark John Kerry. They make him relevant way past his prime.
Yeah.
This is a guy who got beat, you know, got beat in the presidential election, gets to come back as Secretary of State. Then after he's done being Secretary of State, he's older. He's still getting utilized by them.
Yeah.
And just like the Palestinians were. And then he's brought back in with a very small position, but it's a position that allows him to travel the globe and speak on behalf of a president who barely speaks. So they know he's close to Biden. These guys are in the Senate together for most of their life. So if he speaks, this is the perfect operative, perfect person that they've turned to their side. And his dedication to it, I think, is what underscores that he didn't let this go when it was done his time in the spotlight.
No, but there we got this order from the district court judge that says we get the documents. But let me be clear here, and I'm going to go to Andy on this. We are preparing. They are going to file a notice of appeal to the D.C. Court of Appeals. This is a big case with a big disclosure, and they're going to fight with everything they have. And it is conceivable that this case heads up to the Supreme Court.
Jay, I think you're absolutely correct. We know that the disclosure of Jen Psaki's email in its entirety probably will be earth-shaking in the revelation with respect to whether the State Department lied about negotiations and how this deletion of this relevant portion of the video took place. They're not going to let that go out without a battle. We have an expression in Georgia, hit dog barks. And you're going to hear a lot of barking from the State Department. They're going to bark in the Court of Appeals, and they're going to bark in the Supreme Court. But what they don't understand is the ACLJ will bark back.
Yeah, we will. And but prepare yourself, folks. This is the reality of the moment we're in. You know, you have to be, when you run an organization like we have, you have to be nimble. And when there's a change of circumstances, and after the swearing in of Joe Biden, there was a change of circumstances. You have to retool and regroup. And we did that quickly. And because of that, we filed immediately a series of these lawsuits. Now, like Jordan said, we didn't have any idea that these lawsuits would be on the front page of newspapers and these issues would be on the front page of websites all over the country. But that's precisely what has happened. Why has that happened? Because you support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Now, we bring you a broadcast that is on TV stations around the world, that is on all kinds of social media platforms, and radio stations throughout the country, including satellite radio. That's just a part of it. This is who you see us. There's a whole team behind us. There's a whole team on the other side of the building that makes sure all of our media operations are working. Then we've got law firms, lawyers dispersed throughout the globe. Your support of the ACLJ in these last 4 days are critical to our budget for the month. So I want to encourage you to become part of the team. If you already donated, let me say thank you. If you haven't, I encourage you to do that today. Jordan's going to give you the details on how to do it. But folks, you're seeing it. That's why we're in court. That's why we got this order. We got the order on Friday. We also filed a new lawsuit on Friday.
So the entire month of April, you can double the impact of your donation. So March is a very important month. April, a very important month to the ACLJ, because we've got this group of donors. And they say we will match every donation that comes through dollar for dollar to the American Center for Law and Justice in the month of April. So you have until the end of this month. But again, so if you're thinking today, you know what, I love the work of the ACLJ is doing on this issue. This is important. This connects with me. Donate today. Support the work that we do at ACLJ.org. When you do that and you make a $25 donation, let's say, at ACLJ.org, that is like $50 for us in the month of April. So you really are. You're making double the impact by making your donation, and you're continuing to allow us to have the team to do this work. ACLJ.org. Donate today. We will talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.